Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind. It was time.
Before we get to a potential Brandon Ayuk trade and his request for one, a couple things I want to let you know about. First, you got a chance to win some barbecue, world-class barbecue, in fact, with crafted cocktails, and it'll be under the stars and live music. This all comes from J Bar and Barbecue. It'll be a $50 gift card, and it'll be a giveaway that's going to be through social media. It'll start at noon today, and it'll end at noon tomorrow. So you got 24 hours. You're going to enter to win on Instagram. And just go to our Instagram page or our Facebook account, ESPN975, and you'll have all the information about how you get a chance to win. So if you like barbecue, like cocktails, you want to do it under the stars, or maybe you just want a $50 gift card from J Bar M, go to Instagram, go to Facebook. The chance to win begins at noon, and it'll go for 24 hours. And then we'll pick a winner. You'll get all the information there. Just follow us on one of those social media platforms. And also, if you are someone who listens to shows throughout the day, or maybe you have a podcast of your own that you want to have it elevated, this is your opportunity. Rock the Mic is back. We don't do this annually. We do it regularly though. And now is your time. If you have a podcast, an existing one, or you want to start one, and you want to be hosted on our platform through YouTube, ESPN Houston, go to rockthemic975@gmail.com. That is where you send in a 3 to 5 minute video of your best Houston sports take. Simple as that. Whatever it is, if you have thoughts on the Texans this year, the Astros, Dana Brown, whoever you want to talk about, make it good. Make it something you feel strongly about, because I've always found that's the best thing when you're not searching for a topic. It's something that hits you and you really are motivated to discuss it. Send that in. We are welcoming submissions. You got a chance to, I won't say be famous per se, but it will give you a chance to let it be known that you're serious about this. And the live finale will be August 23rd at Carbach Brewery. Once again, get those entries in now at rockthemic975@gmail.com. We want to hear from you. You guys like doing what we do, or maybe you do it even better. Here's your opportunity. I know we got an intern out there, Ryan Diamond, who has a podcast and talks about Houston sports. So he's a young guy in college. Maybe some of you are that, or maybe you're older, and this is your opportunity to try it out. Rock the Mic is here, rockthemic975@gmail.com. Okay. Enough of the logistics of, you know, just the nuts and bolts sometimes you got to get through. Brandon Ayuk, he is a star wide receiver for the 49ers, and much like any star wide receiver, he wants to get paid. He's in the final year of his rookie deal. He'll be making about $14-plus million a year, but he wants more. He's wanted more all offseason. The 49ers, they've contended that they want to pay him, but they can't come to any agreement about how much he should get paid. And they've done and dealt with this before. Was it just last offseason, or maybe the offseason before? Deebo Samuels wanted out because he didn't get the money, or he wasn't getting the money that he wanted. And they said, no, we're not trading you. They don't trade guys who ask for trades. Robbie Gould, a kicker, wanted a trade. They said, no, we're not doing that. Deebo asked for a trade. They didn't do it. They eventually came to an agreement with Deebo. Okay, it happened in the 2022 offseason. He said he wanted out. They listened to offers, but said, no, we're not going to trade you. He got a 3-year deal up towards $73.5 million. He signed that in the middle of July of late July 2022. Robbie Gould, as I mentioned, wanted out. They said no. They gave him an extension in July. So generally, when a guy asks for a trade, it pushes the 49ers to act. They eventually go pay a guy. And they've already said they're not trading Brandon Ayuk. And I understand. Now, he's a guy who said he's willing to hold out. He's either going to get paid or he's not going to play. We'll see. He's already incurred some fines, upwards of $100,000 so far this offseason, because he's not reported to all the mandatory camps and stuff. But if you're the 49ers, this is the year before you're going to have to really consider how much you're going to give Brock Purdy. I get trying to go through one more year without handing out another big deal and seeing if this core can finally get it done. In the Super Bowl last year, have been contending for a chance to win a Super Bowl for the last half decade. As long as they've been healthy under Kyle Shanahan, they've been a contender. You want to push back paying Brandon Ayuk because it helps the books, or maybe you don't want to give him as much as he wants. Understood. But I'm not trading him either. I wouldn't do it. Chest is metal. The only guy who's ever done it and said, you know what, I'm not going to play is Le'Veon Bell. He's the one guy who was like a star player who said, if you're not paying me, I'm not playing. And he sat out the year. And then he got his deal from the Jets, and you didn't hear from Le'Veon Bell ever again. And now he's retired and tweeting about things. His most recent thing got people upset. We told the story yesterday, or at least talked about it. Jaylen Brown had to apologize in some ways. He didn't come out and say, I'm sorry, but he cleaned up what he was seen to have said at Summer League when he was talking to his girlfriend. He was with his girlfriend and Angel Reese. And Le'Veon Bell quote tweeted it and said, you know what they say, 2 fives make a 10. And then he had to go, just jokes, guys. I'm just kidding. So that's what he's up to right now. I can't remember a guy ever coming through, following through on that. So I would test Brandon Ayuk's stomach for it. Do you want to get fined? Do you want to not get paid all $14 million or so that you're owed and sit out a year because you are standing on business? If we can't come to a deal that helps us and helps you, and we feel like we're not completely getting screwed, you sit out the year and see, but we're not trading you. It's a gamble, considering their aspirations, but I test them because generally players don't have it in them. And the one guy who did, his career fell apart after. So that may play out. They're not going to trade him. That's what they're saying. When are they going to pay him? Up for debate. So we'll see how that plays out as training camps get closer and closer. It's about that time where contracts, extensions, or big deals that aren't agreed to become a problem. We have Ayuk asking for a trade. The Tua thing is coming around the corner now. Rappaport had a report yesterday suggesting that the Dolphins are moving ever closer to a deal. He believes a deal is out there to be made. There isn't a lot of contention. They're just figuring out the particulars. Dak Prescott, on the other hand, I don't know what the Cowboys are going to do. They're kind of stuck, particularly if they don't believe in him. It's tough. What's the move? We know the Browns are stuck. They've already paid. They're paying him, fully guaranteed. The Cowboys have a guy who is great in the regular season, doesn't win playoff games. What do you do? Do you give him $55, $60 million? If you don't think he's capable of taking you to the top of the heap, I don't envy them. It's a lot better to have a young quarterback who's already won a playoff game and doesn't have the scars of disappointment. It was house money all last year for the Texans. It changes this year, but even still, if they don't have as good of a year as predicted, there's still going to be a belief in CJ Stroud that he is one of those. He is, as the kids say, Austin, he is him. There's going to be a belief that he's him unless he completely falls apart. I don't imagine that's going to happen. It's very nice to have a belief in your quarterback and him only to be in year two where you don't have to make big financial decisions. The Cowboys are in a completely different boat. The playoff scars are there. The disappointments are there. And now you still got to pay him. And if you pay him, and if they fail again, we know who's leaving. Mike McCarthy's going to go. Because it can't be we're going to keep both of them around after another disappointing year. Honestly, I'm paying Dak. It's hard to get a good quarterback. and the cap's going to keep going up. He's going to take up a lot of it. That's just the price you pay. What's the option for the Cowboys? For him to play, to be good enough to win 11 games or so, make the playoffs, and are you in a position to draft a young quarterback? No. You're too good to do that. I think you're kind of stuck paying him, which might make everyone else who has to play the Cowboys happy if you think he's not good enough to get it done. I would start with Mike McCarthy. Honestly, if I'm getting rid of someone, I'm starting with Mike McCarthy. What's it been for Dak? Was it Garrett and then McCarthy? Maybe get him a better coach first. I know quarterbacks hold a lot on their shoulders and get blamed a lot. But I'm going to go, give me someone not named Jason Garrett or Mike McCarthy, and then we can have a conversation about what I can accomplish. And, oh, yeah, give me my $60 million. That, too. So that is what the Cowboys have to deal with. What the Dolphins might have to deal with, too, with their quarterback. They have to make a decision, but that one seems less contentious. And then the 49ers, who likely are not going to trade Brandon Ayuk because a Super Bowl could be in the offing, and I don't believe that guy is holding out the rest of the way. Just doesn't happen. We're going to get to the SEC. Media days are continuing to go on. There's a quote. I don't know if we have the sound for it. I haven't been able to find it. There's a quote from a former Alabama player on Nick Saban that we'll get to. We'll also hear from the head of officials in the SEC. He has the final word on whether horns down will be penalized. We'll hear from him and his reasoning behind his decision on that and what he's instructed his officials to do when we come back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
I don't even play this game, but I know I'm a giant nerd because my frame of reference for the song, it was in a trailer for Battlefield. They're in Antarctica and some penguins showed up or something. I don't know how to explain it. Other than Battlefield, it's just another one of those first-person shooter games, I guess. But I don't even know the name of the artist. Who was this, Austin? What does it say on the label when you played it?
That was a Motley Crue.
I should have known that. That's on me. But the only time I hear it is when I think of that game now. It's a trailer a lot of people watch, and I was one of them. So Tyler Booker is an offensive lineman for Alabama. Alabama has probably a bit of a surprising year. That team wasn't supposed to be as good as they were. In fact, Nick Saban, I think, maybe after the Auburn game, talked about their resiliency and how proud he was because they weren't a team that you would think would be competing for an SEC title. But they went on to beat Georgia, knocked Georgia out of the playoff, and then they lost to Michigan in the Rose Bowl. Michigan went on to win a national title. But Tyler Booker is one of their offensive linemen. And he was asked about Nick Saban, who did not pick the Crimson Tide to play for the SEC title. And he said this: "Well, something Coach Saban taught us whenever we speak to the media is not to concern ourselves with external factors. And he doesn't work in the facility anymore. He works in the stadium, so he's considered an external factor." He also said, Saban told us, don't let the guy who is in his mom's basement affect how you feel. So I'm not going to let the guy who plays golf all day affect how I feel. Because Saban's now a pundit. He's a guy who's going to give his opinion on things. And his players are taking his teachings to heart. Doesn't matter what coach says. He doesn't coach us anymore. He ain't in the building. He doesn't know what we're about. That's rat poison. But in this case, it comes from a guy who feels like coined the term rat poison. So Nick Saban, in his role as pundit, is getting the lesson or is finding out the lessons he taught his players are sticking. Now he's just a target of those lessons now, as opposed to the guy teaching them. And Kalen DeBoer, the former Washington coach, takes over and is recruiting really well. If there are questions about whether Alabama will continue to recruit the way they have under Saban, those questions have been put aside. I'm sure that people who behind the scenes are a big part of that program decided, yes, Saban leaving ain't going to kill us. We're going to make sure everyone knows Alabama's still a recruiting power, and we're going to still be a really good program. So things are going well, at least off the field for Kalen DeBoer. We'll see how the season plays out. His predecessor doesn't think they're going to be playing for a title. With Texas and Georgia in it, it's going to be a tough conference. You can throw in LSU. We'll see what Tennessee has as they get going with their young quarterback, who was a highly touted prospect now a couple of recruiting classes ago. But the main concern, I guess, for some media members is how is the SEC going to handle the taunting of Texas? We know how the Big 12 said they're going to handle it. If you threw horns down, you were going to get a flag. That is taunting. We don't allow it. Don't taunt Texas. Well, here's John McDavid, who is the head of officials for the SEC, and he was asked about horns down and how his officials will treat it.
We've talked a lot about that in our officiating group since I've taken over in the 2020 season. And to be unsportsmanlike conduct, I'm asking my officials to use a framework of judgment where the act to be a foul needs to be in one of three buckets. It needs to be taunting an opponent, it needs to be a travesty of the game, or it needs to otherwise compromise our ability to manage the game. What's a travesty of the game, right? It's just a phrase. I ask my officials, the act itself needs to be offending to the senses. If you took that act out of a football stadium and did it in a shopping mall or a grocery store, would it offend the senses to a majority of the reasonable people in the area, right? That signal would not, right? You might have some people that share that signal with you if you did that at a grocery store or in a shopping mall, depending where you are. So it's very much we're going to evaluate it in context. I could see a scenario. I want to be very cautious about using hypotheticals, right? But I could see a scenario where an opponent of Texas makes a big play in celebrating with his teammates, possibly going back to the sideline. They're giving the signal. It's not taunting. It's not making a travesty of the game. It's not affecting our ability to manage the game.
What if the grocery store was in Austin? What if I'm throwing horns down in Austin? Would that be a travesty? Would it offend the people around me? Probably. So if I throw horns down in Austin playing the Longhorns in their stadium, does that mean I get penalized? Because it's going to offend a lot of people in that building. So, in other words, don't expect people to throw flags. Don't expect officials to throw flags unless you pop the horns down in a Texas player's face or the coaching staff's face as they're running by them. It is not going to be up. If we see it, you get a flag thrown. A travesty of the game. What could possibly be done on a field that would translate to being a travesty in a supermarket? Like, you know, I'm trying to think of a taunt that, I guess, the finger. You give someone the finger, people would get offended by it, so that's going to be a flag. We all know words. There are words that you say, depending on who you say it to, it could be a problem. So words, if it's heard, that might get you. But as far as hand gestures, the finger, grabbing the crotch, would that be one, I guess, if you're standing over a player and you're giving the, maybe. So I think we all can feel comforted by horns down will be a thing in the SEC, and we don't have to worry about it. Unless, by his definition, and he was hesitant to use hypotheticals, it's done in Austin. Because if you throw the horns down in Austin, it is a travesty, a crime against humanity. And maybe you don't just get flagged, you get thrown out of the game. I wonder how they'll adjudicate that. Are you a college football fan, Austin?
Yeah.
Which team do you root for? Can I hear you? Which team do you root for?
Because every team, my favorite team?
Yeah.
Sam Houston.
Okay. It's tough to rip on the Bearcats because they were a fine FCS program. Now they transitioned to the FBS. I don't punch down. So it's fun to take shots at Texas. There's nothing to take shots at the Bearcats by. Unless you're like, who's your rival again?
It was SFA. Now they're trying to revive the Texas State rivalry.
Okay, because you're both on the same level now. You know, we're going to do that at some point on this show. I know your affiliation, but at some point we're going to have callers call in and just stake their claim. Who are you a fan of? Whether you want to call in with your fake pseudo name that you use, whether you want to call in with your real name, we're gonna ask you the question. Who do you root for? Because we're getting closer and closer, and I want to know who can talk trash. We probably won't do a lot of it on Monday because it's the NFL. We'll have to get to that. But on Tuesdays, when it's more open territory, we want to know who can talk trash and who can't. Like, if you root for A&M and you lose an early season game, I want people to know so you can be the ire or you can be the object of derision. Or maybe you got a big win. Maybe you're a fan of the Longhorns and you go into Michigan and win. We welcome you. But don't come in after and rep the Longhorns. You got to rep them before. I'm not going to welcome you after when things are good. Stake your claim before so we know. And if you want to talk about how great it was to beat the defending national champions in their building, bring it on. But if you just roll in and say I'm a Longhorn fan after the act has already been done, that ain't the way we're going to do it here. So we're going to have probably a Stake Your Claim Friday at some point where we get everyone to let us know, whether it be through Twitter or the phone lines, who they root for as we get closer and closer to college football. Thomas, I see you. You want to talk some college football. I welcome those conversations all the time. If anyone else wants to get in, 713-780-3776. But first, I want to talk about AqueductPlumbingCompany.com. It's a website you go to for any of your plumbing concerns. Look, sometimes you don't know what's going on. You just know something is wrong. And Aqueduct Plumbing Company gives you the opportunity to take advantage of the free price quote. So if you want to know what it is before you make a decision, Aqueduct Plumbing Company will take care of you. They're the place to be, or the place to go at least, if you have an issue. They're local. They are run by someone who lives in the area. Billy Brown is the guy who runs Aqueduct Plumbing Company. He's a guy who understands the community. He understands that you want a plumber who's competent, who's excellent, and is local as well. So all their local contractors are big time. They've done over 1,000 repipes. They get the job done, and their experience as well. So what do you get from Aqueduct Plumbing Company? Experience, guys, local guys, and guys who do an excellent job. So whether it be a repiping, a leak, you need a new water heater, or a tankless water heater, they can do the job. Just call them, 281-488-6238 for that free price quote, 281-488-6238, or go to AqueductPlumbingCompany.com.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Thomas called in after our college football discussion. He wants to talk a little bit about the sport as well. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, Del. Hope you're doing well, man. On the show, yeah, I guess I'm going to jump in the train early and just give a shout-out to the LSU Tigers.
Okay.
My alma mater. We're going to have a good year, I think. I actually don't have any idea. But with that said, I was going to ask you, I know you're a big college football fan, do you just track Miami and, like, some schools? Or how do you go about things? Because back when I was in college, you know, we live and died by, like, National Signing Day, you know, fall recruiting classes. And then it felt easier to be able to, like, project and stuff and know, like, if we're going to be good or bad in other teams. But now as I'm getting older and probably not caring less, I guess, you know, there's, you know, multiple National Signing Days. There's the transfer portal. So I really don't – I think we're going to be good. People say we're going to be good, but obviously I could easily see us sucking. So I just wanted to, you know, see how you keep up these days. And then, man, that question really ages me. But then the last thing is, how many hours have you put into the new college football game? Funny enough, to your producer, I just started a dynasty with Kent Houston State, so I'm going to try to bring them to either the Big 12 or SEC. I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate it, Thomas. Yeah. Even the game itself, being so excited about it, ages us, because – so certainly there are just people who love the game of football, love playing video games, who will play this one. But mostly it's been Madden for the last decade. So being so excited about a college football game, it's a lot about nostalgia, but the game's pretty good. But I'll get to And I'll stay here, and then I'll answer your other college football thing. I haven't put in as much time as I want to, mostly because I'm a guy who's still hitting the wrong buttons. I'm not a PS5 guy, but I bought one. I'm used to the Xbox, so I'm still working that out. In fact, the plan today is to go into, like, practice mode and just spend a couple hours there just working on all the audibles and understanding this is the button for this, because I've hit the wrong button so many times in actual games that it frustrates me. But I'll figure it out. I haven't played a PlayStation in like 15 years. I just bought one for this. So as far as college football and how I keep track, I am one like you who cared so much about National Signing Day when it was just the one. Not that it's now December and February. That's changed my attention to detail about it. It's just I've realized that recruiting means so much, but it also can mean very little if players are going to leave after a year. And this is not me railing on the transfer portal. It's just reality. Am I going to get excited about the recruiting class when a year from now, if they're not getting the time they want, they can go? So I don't get attached to players anymore. I don't care about the battles. Oh, a guy committed to my school. Cool. Oh, a guy didn't commit to my school. Fine. In fact, today there's a 5-star kid, DJ Pickett, one of the best defensive backs in the country, who has LSU, your school, or Oregon and Miami involved. He has a brother on the team at Miami. He has, I think his father or his uncle played at Miami at some point. So you would look at that as a legacy recruit that Miami should get. Of course, with NIL and other things as factors, and the fact that Miami hasn't been good for years, the thought is, at least as of right now, is that Phil Knight and Oregon are going to secure him. And I mentioned Phil Knight for a reason. The reporting is that Phil Knight is going all in on trying to get a title for the Oregon Ducks before he passes away. Morbid, but appears to be the truth. So right now the thought is he's going to Oregon. 10 years ago, I'd be frustrated. Now, whatever. If he doesn't play a lot at Oregon in year one, he'll probably transfer to LSU or Miami with NIL and the transfer portal. But I keep track with my team, and I look at what my rivals are doing, and of course I read the preview magazines. Like, Phil Steele was actually a guy who made a lot of appearances in this time slot when Charlie Polillo hosted in this time. I'll be up to date on what Phil Steele thinks. I'll listen to podcasts about the sport. That's how I spend my time keeping track. But you're right, it's more difficult. There's a lot to this, a lot to pay attention to, and also we've got lives that are more filled and complicated than they were when we were younger. But that's how I keep track. And, of course, the games themselves are always the best part. So we will go forward with that. And thank you for staking your claim. You are an LSU fan. Should have a good year. You're losing a big-time quarterback. We know he's a commander now. But Nelson Meyer's been around quite a bit. And if going by what he is in NCAA, he's just fine, because he carved me up yesterday. So LSU probably will be just fine. And it's not NCAA anymore. I should stop saying that. It's EA College Football 25. That was one for me. That entire call and response was just about me. That's all the things I love bundled up, and having a conversation about it was pretty cool. So, Thomas, call in anytime, and anyone else, 713-780-3776. So we played John McDavid on Texas and how they're going to treat the horns down. We haven't talked about this because it was really the topic of conversation yesterday, because there's nothing much else to get to as far as sports. You had Ingrid Andress, who is a country star, not Grammy nominated, won some awards in different categories for different award shows. So she's been acknowledged as maybe not a rising star, but someone who has some chops, someone who the industry says is pretty good at what she does. You wouldn't have been able to tell by that performance. If you missed it, she did an awful rendition of the national anthem before the Home Run Derby on Monday night. Turns out, at least according to her, there's a reason. She is now going to enter rehab. She says she was drunk. In a statement she put out on Instagram, she says she was drunk. That's not who she is. She wanted to apologize to Major League Baseball, the country, for singing a poor version of the national anthem, and she's going to get the help that she believes she needs. She's going to take some time away to get some help. I don't have any other comment on that other than that's what it is. From what I can tell, even just listening to some of her other live performances, the national anthem shouldn't have been something she couldn't handle. So if that's the reasoning behind it, it makes some sense. Because she is a professional artist. You can tell by her other performances that she can do that. It just so happened on that night she was not up for it, and now we know why. I'm always a little hesitant to even care that much about that, about bad national anthem performances, because how much do they really mean? Other than like July or this time of the year, that's the only time they get brought up. Like when we did it yesterday on the John Lance show, we started to go through the Rolodex of all the bad performances, Carl Lewis and Fergie and Roseanne. But the only times they get mentioned is when another one happens. So in fact, if no one ever sings a poor national anthem again, no one's going to talk about this performance. It only comes up when someone stinks it up the next time. So if Ingrid Andress is okay afterwards, I hope that happens. I hope she gets the help she needs, and then she better pray that no one ever sings a bad national anthem again, because then no one will ever talk about this again. Like, she's not a big enough star where people are going to reference this. Like, her fans and the country people will remember, but you know, if she puts out a hit, people will forget. The general public, she'll be in it one ear, one bleeding ear, if you go by the national anthem, and out the other. And then no one will discuss her again until the next one. So pray for them to all be good forever. Or some stupid talk show in the middle of July will play this again when you've long since pushed that moment to the side. We got one more segment to go here before we wrap it up. It'll be Austin and Paul on Gallant and George after this show. And then the Killer Bees will follow after them. One more segment. We'll be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
I was alerted to this because of golf beef that I'm going to be subjected to the Open Championship talk for the next couple of days. And I guess I should have taken the hint when I found out we're going to be at East River 9 on Friday. That's kind of a hint to let me know that there is a big-time golf tournament in the offing that I should get prepared for. And normally, wouldn't matter to me. But it ain't normal because John Granato's involved. So there'll be a lot of golf talk Thursday and Friday just to prepare you. If you are someone who listens from 7 to 10 and follows me to 10 to 12, at least from 7 to 10 the next couple of days, you're going to hear random golfers you've never heard of playing in a tournament you may or may not care about and discuss like it's the Super Bowl because John Granato's sitting in the room. So be prepared for that. I wasn't aware until I found out that Colin Montgomery and Tiger Woods are beefing. Colin Montgomery said some things in an interview that he did for the Times, and not the New York Times. This is an international paper. It's a UK paper. But he said some things about Tiger Woods that would suggest that he thinks Tiger Woods should retire. He said that maybe Tiger Woods, it's time to wrap it up. You've been holding on too long. And accept your fate and let it go. I mean, maybe a golfer shouldn't say that about one of his colleagues. But if we're looking at Tiger Woods, is Colin Montgomery wrong? Look, Tiger Woods can do whatever he wants. In fact, we're going to hear something from Tiger Woods to suggest he knows he can do whatever he wants. I don't think Colin Montgomery's that wrong, but maybe don't speak on what a man should do with his life, particularly if you're not even friends. So Colin Montgomery has walked back some of the things he said, because you always have to do that once when you're held to account, as we've been trying to do today. This is what he tweeted about the response or the backlash to what he said. If golf writers want my thoughts on Tiger, please ask me direct rather than taking a quote from an interview out of context, wishing Tiger an enjoyable and successful week. So we always got to do the cleanup on social media. We saw Jaylen Brown do it. Kyle Montgomery's next. Here's Tiger Woods responding to at least the article that was written about Kyle Montgomery and his thoughts on Tiger.
Tiger, just to almost follow up on that, you've given so much to this game, you've given so much to this championship, but you know there was comments, you know, last week from Colin Montgomery who said, why is he here, he should retire, there's no point to this. Do you feel that's a bit hurtful and you've earned the right to you make the decision when you decide?
Well, as a past champion, I'm exempt until I'm 60. Colin's not. He's not a past champion, so he's not exempt.
There it is.
So he doesn't get the opportunity to make that decision. I do.
That's, I mean, you've earned that. You've deserved it.
So when I get to be at his age, I still make that decision. Well, he doesn't.
Next question here, number
one. The polite slander from a golfer. Not an angry word said, but you heard the message and you know he knew what he was going for. Yeah, there is something in swinging up at someone. Like that's what comedians do for the most part. Some comedians swing down and they get in trouble for it. But for the most part, people like when comedians go after the people in power, go after people who are held in higher regard. It's the fun part of it all. Colin Montgomery was swinging up, but he just got hit with an uppercut from someone swinging down. I know that doesn't make any sense, but that's what happened. Tiger was like, all right, I got something for you. I'm going to do it in a very matter-of-fact, polite way, but I'm going to tell the world that he's not as good as me. He shouldn't be talking about me at all because I'm still Tiger Woods. He hasn't been the unbelievable, undaunted champion that he was early in his career, but the success still remains. Who he was is still remembered, and he just wanted to let Colin Montgomery know. Kendrick Lamar at one point said in this earlier this summer, sometimes you got to pop out and show. I can't finish the sentence, but he said what he said. That's Tiger Woods saying, you may not think I'm that guy anymore, but you were never that guy, so you can't talk to me that way, and I appreciate it. That's if golf is going to bring those things to me, I'm not going to say I'm ever going to watch, but if you can bring these type of conversations where we got one of the best players to ever do it, talking to Colin Montgomery that way or anyone that way, I welcome it. More of it. I don't know anything else about golf beef. Maybe I got to ask John some questions. Who I can listen to? I know Xander. I know there are a couple of commenters or pundits who will say some things that make their way to the general aggregation sites. But I just found it interesting that Tiger just wanted to let people know. You may not think I'm that dude, but I was that dude, and you were never that dude. So keep my name out of your mouth. Tiger Woods at the Open Championship, as he lets you know, he's exempt until he's 60. So maybe Tiger Woods will be playing in that tournament until he's 60 years old, despite what Colin Montgomery has to say. This is usually where someone asks me if we've missed anything. Now, Austin has a very, from what I know, a very narrow cast about what he's interested in sports. I'm sure there are other things, but we know. Diamondbacks, Cleveland sports. Do you think there's anything we've missed today that we should have gotten to, or maybe that you'll get to on the next show?
I don't think so.
There it is. Short and sweet. I knew what this was going to be, but I was just wondering. Maybe you had an idea, but you're probably right. I don't think we've missed anything. Oh, there's that thing I mentioned earlier. Robot umps. As we go through this segment where we just get to some things we've missed. Robot umps may be a thing in 2025 in spring training. Rob Manfred's floating that out there, that the timeline could be where we see robot umps in 2025 in the spring, and if it goes well, they're going to be in Major League Baseball in 2026. And now the players, they have sided with, you know, having regular umpires but having a challenge system. We might be at a point in the very near future, if Rob Manfred gets his way, that robot umps are determining balls and strikes. The system is apparently very accurate. There's still some fine tuning that they need to do, but we're not that far away. You know what? I'm not a baseball traditionalist, despite my wanting them to wear their regular uniforms, just so you can, at least for the casual observer, you know which player that guy plays for. It might benefit people who don't watch baseball on a regular basis, but, you know, it's the middle of July, you want to watch the All-Star game, to know who the guy plays for just by watching the screen, recognizing the uniform as opposed to what they've been rolling out there the last several years. And Rob Manfred has some ideas on going back to guys wearing their actual uniforms. But robot umps, I mean, we've already gotten rid of the scourge that is Angel Hernandez. That would have been my only real feeling about the thing. If Angel Hernandez was still behind the plate, give me robot umps over anything that he might do on a game-to-game basis. But other than that, I'm sure there's some bad umpires that people can think about and go, I don't want that guy calling games anymore. But I can't think of one that would make me push for a more automated system. But here's the quote from Manfred. We need 25 to do the spring training test. If we can get these issues resolved, which will make 26 a viable possibility. Is that going to be the year? I'm not going to be flat-footed on that issue. So he's open-minded about it. But don't rule it out where we go to an automated system. And they've been experimenting with it. The ABS is what they call it, the automated ball strike system, on the minor league level for the last 5 years. And they've been using it in AAA ballparks since 2023. So you never know. Just 2 years away from our robot overlords taking over completely. Look, I'm not going to say this is where Skynet comes online, but I'm not going to rule it out. and if it's baseball that triggers the end of the world, I would tell you that's why football's a better sport, if you didn't already know. Lock on the football. Because if it's going to be a Skynet type situation, and it all stems from, hey, we want a more automated system where human error is no longer involved, it would be the coup de grace to Rob Manfred's tenure if he begins the end of the world by introducing the automated ball strike system. Just be on the lookout for it, everyone. We're like 2 years away from T2. And if you watch that movie, it doesn't go well for us. It doesn't go well until John Connor saves us. And he's been saving us for the last 20 years, it feels like, as that franchise continues on. I am done. Gallant and George are up next with no George. It'll be Austin and Paul, then the Killer Bees. I'll talk to you tomorrow. And what do we do, Austin?
We did it!
That we did.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.